Thank you very much. And I have no relationships to disclose. So as our previous presenters have stated, HIV continues to disproportionately affect men who have sex with men, or MSM. In 2013, MSM accounted for approximately 80% of the estimated HIV diagnoses among men 13 years old or older in the U.S., and they also accounted for majority, around 55% of persons with an AIDS diagnosis. The graph on your right shows the estimated incidence rates of HIV infection by group. And here we see that among MSM, the estimated incidence rate is 481 new cases per 100,000 population. And among men in general, it was 24, and among women, it was around 6. So this shows us the disparity. One important factor among populations living with HIV is HIV disclosure, specifically to partners, also to family, but to partners it's also important. And the consequences theory of disclosure, which was coined by Dr. Julian Serovich, one of the co-authors on this project and also here in the room, it states that the disease progression influences disclosure of HIV status through an individual's perception of the consequences that may arise as a result of disclosure. And people with HIV are likely to disclose their status to partners if the benefits for disclosing outweigh the cost. So some of the benefits of disclosing to partners include increased opportunities to discuss the reduction of HIV risk, decreased HIV transmission, social support, and better access to HIV treatment and care. And there are also some consequences as well, and these can include anxiety, blame, abandonment or rejection, discrimination, disruption of relationships, as well as physical and or emotional abuse. Depressive symptoms and substance use are also important public health issues among the MSM population. And a study by Cochrane showed that in comparison to heterosexual men, MSM were 3 times more likely to meet criteria for depression and report high current distress. And they were also around 4 times more likely to report experiencing depression or being treated in the past year for depression. Another study by Stahl, looking at substance use among MSM, showed that MSM do not drink at more problematic levels than men in general. However, other multiple drug use is more common among MSM than among heterosexual men. And then there are some types of drugs that are more common among MSM, for example, nitrate inhalants, stimulants, and methamphetamines. Partner violence is also an important public health issue in the U.S. and other countries as well. And it's also important among MSM populations, not only among heterosexual couples. And the graph on your left shows intimate partner violence among MSM in Chicago. And this study was published in 2007. And it shows that approximately 1 in 5 of this population reported sexual violence, physical violence, verbal violence, as well as 32% reported any form of violence. And these numbers also show the interconnectivity of the different types of violence among this population. The other graph shows intimate partner violence among MSM in 4 urban areas. Chicago is also included in these areas, as well as New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. And here the numbers are a little bit different, where we see 34% reporting sexual violence, 22% physical, 5% psychological, and then approximately 4 in 10 reporting any form of violence. So when we think about the link between depression, substance use, and partner violence, adverse mental health outcomes and substance use have been shown to be correlated with partner violence among same-sex partners, and specifically among MSM couples, methamphetamine use, crack cocaine use, alcohol abuse, substance use with sex, and depression have been shown to be associated or correlated with partner violence among MSM couples. So the interconnectivity of partner violence, HIV status, and HIV disclosure has been shown in a study by Shamu, but this was really looking at women in a South African population. And another study showed that populations at risk for partner violence tend to be those populations that are vulnerable to HIV infection. So more studies are needed to address the risk factors for partner violence associated with HIV disclosure among MSM populations. So the study's aim was to determine the association between depressive symptoms, substance use, and partner violence victimization associated with HIV disclosure to partners among MSM. And we hypothesized that we would see positive associations between depressive symptoms and substance use and partner violence associated with disclosure. So data for the study were obtained from 340 participants at the baseline assessment of a longitudinal randomized controlled trial of a disclosure intervention. The study took place across two sites in Columbus, Ohio and Tampa, Florida. And to be eligible for the disclosure intervention study, men had to be living with HIV, at least 18 years old, and sexually active with at least two partners in the past 12 months, of which at least one had to be a male partner. And they also had to indicate an interest in learning more about disclosure. So one of the measures that was used in the study was verbal and or physical abuse after disclosure. So the question that garnered this information was, in the last 30 days, how many times were you verbally or physically abused by a partner after disclosing? Depressive symptoms were measured by the 20-item CESD scale, and this was on a 4-point Likert type scale ranging from rarely or none of the time to most or all of the time. Substance use was measured by the Substance Abuse and Mental Illness Symptom Screener, or SAMIS, which was coined by Wetton and colleagues, and this was on a 5-point Likert type scale ranging from never to at least 4 times a week. Two respondents were excluded due to missing data on key variables, so the total sample size was 338. And descriptive statistics were used to determine the distribution of sociodemographic characteristics. And we also used multivariable logistic regression models to obtain the adjusted odds ratios and 95% confidence intervals. And we also used nested models to control for age, income, race, ethnicity, education, and employment. So this table shows the sociodemographic characteristics, depressive symptoms, and substance use in the overall population. And I'm just going to highlight a few things. So overall, the mean age of the study population was around 42 years old. And if we look down to the CESD score, the mean was 20.4 with a range from 0 to 57. And the mean score for substance use was 13.9, and this had a range from 5 to 35. This next table shows the same sociodemographic characteristics, depressive symptoms, and substance use, but this time by partner violence status. So 6% of respondents reported partner violence associated with disclosure in the past 30 days, And looking at those same variables, we see that for age, those who were exposed to partner violence were around 39 years old. The mean was 39 years old compared to those who were not exposed at 42. So we see that those who were exposed were a little bit younger compared to those who were not exposed to partner violence. And when we look at the depression score, those who were exposed had a mean score of around 28 compared to those who were not exposed at 20. So we see that the mean depression score is higher among those who were exposed. And we see a similar pattern for substance use, where those who were exposed, the mean was around 18 compared to 14. This table shows the association between depressive symptoms, substance use, and partner violence associated with disclosure. And here, the nested models are shown here. So model one was your crude model, model two adjusted for age, model three then adjusted for age and income, and model four was your fully adjusted model, adjusting for age, income, race, ethnicity, education, and employment. So model one, which is our crude model, shows that there was an association between depressive symptoms and partner violence. And here it shows that for every point increase in your CESD score, there was a 4% increase in the likelihood of being exposed to partner violence in the past 30 days after disclosure. And we see that for substance use, the increase in likelihood was 10%. So for every increase in substance use score, every point increase, there was a 10% increase in the likelihood of being exposed to partner violence associated with disclosure in the past 30 days. When we look at model four, which is our fully adjusted model, so looking, controlling for all the sociodemographic characteristics, we see that the association between depressive symptoms and partner violence became non-statistically significant. However, the association between substance use and partner violence remained statistically significant, with an 8% increase in the likelihood of being exposed to partner violence. So in terms of the association between substance use and partner violence, the findings that we have seen here support previous studies as well as our prior hypothesis. So substance use has been shown to be positively associated with partner violence, and this is just general partner violence, among Black and Asian Pacific Islander MSM. Substance use may be associated with partner violence due to psychoactive effects from using substances, and these effects may lead to impaired judgment as well as the inability to leave a violent situation which may be impending after disclosing HIV status. When we look at the association between depressive symptoms and partner violence, so the findings contradicted what we, our prior hypothesis, and this was looking at the fully adjusted model, because if we remember, the fully adjusted model was not statistically significant, but the crude model was. Prior studies have shown an association between depressive symptoms and partner violence among MSM, women, and heterosexual couples, and the variation in findings that we see here could be due to a couple of things. The small sample size that we have, remember, it was only 6% that reported being exposed to partner violence in the past 30 days. And also the operationalization of partner violence, because here, remember, we're looking at partner violence after disclosure, and these other studies were looking at general intimate partner violence. So there are some limitations. The study was a cross-sectional assessment looking at baseline data, and the total sample size was small, as I stated before, just 6% reporting verbal and or physical abuse in the past 30 days associated with disclosure. And violence in the past 30 days may not be representative of a participant's overall experience. So this is just past 30 days. So that's definitely something that limited our study. And unfortunately, no data were collected on partner sexual violence, and sexual violence is a very important issue when we're looking at the comprehensive exposure to intimate partner violence. So we did not have data on that. The associations between depressive symptoms, substance use, and partner violence may differ across study sites, but because of the small sample size, again, we were unable to look at those differences and/or similarities. We had a couple of strengths. Nested models accounted for the multiple potential confounders, and we used continuous variables to help to mitigate loss of information that may be seen with categorization of variables. So we use the depressive sum score and the substance use sum score. So in conclusion, HIV disclosure interventions for MSM living with HIV should address substance use and partner violence, and substance use interventions for MSM living with HIV should also address partner violence associated with disclosure of HIV status. Healthcare providers for this population should also provide resources addressing violence prevention associated with disclosure of HIV status. And then future research should include longitudinal studies to really examine that temporal sequence to ensure that the exposure did occur before the outcome, and may assess other mental health variables such as anxiety, which is a huge issue as well, and PTSD. And future research should also include looking at sexual violence, which is very important. I would like to thank my co-authors, Dr. Julian Sarovich and Dr. Judy Kimberly, and the College of Behavioral and Community Sciences at the University of South Florida, the NIMH, which funded the study. And also for the men, I would also like to thank the men who participated in the study for their contributions and for their time. And that's it. Thank you very much.